Let's just switch. Oh my God, we're having a good time up here. Thank God we're not organized, huh? Okay, we are going to pass the baskets. We have, I think, two baskets. This is to cover my personal expenses, the gasoline and a couple hotels along the way. So I ask that you dig deep. I know that you paid to get in. A lot of that is to cover the lunch and the handouts and the book sales. All the book sale money stays here. That's the way we do this. So in the interim, what happened is nobody's worked out how to cover my expenses to get up here. So we don't make any money, but I live off the VA pension, so you know how big that is. That's my only income. I live quite well off of that little pension because I'm very frugal. But I do thank you for that. And I do want to start the second session while we're doing that. Again, many people are familiar with the three-column inventory on page 65 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I know a lot of you have talked about Joe and Charlie. They do a phenomenal job. But again, when they started, the assumption was that everybody that went to a Joe and Charlie workshop or listened to the Joe and Charlie tapes had already taken the steps. It was not for newcomers. Both Joe and Charlie endorsed Back to Basics. Do this first, then come see us. Do Back to Basics, then come see us. Don't try to do this right out of the chute because it's far too complicated for somebody who's new. So back in the 40s, they had this all figured out. Page 65 was not highlighted because it was not presented to newcomers. What was presented to newcomers is an assets and liabilities checklist, which came to us from the Oxford Group. The Oxford Group used an assets and liabilities checklist. Most of the first 100 were from the Oxford Group. They all knew how to do an assets and liabilities checklist. Nobody knew how to do page 65 until Joe and Charlie came along in the late 70s. And so that's why the page was not used to take people through the steps. You can't say it didn't work because they did have 50 to 75% recovery not using page 65. Whoa. Okay, just wanted to throw that out there. The commercial inventory that they talk about on page 64, anybody that's had accounting, either in high school or college, the equation for double entry bookkeeping is assets equals liabilities plus owner equity. Assets and liabilities. That was what the inventory was all about. Page 65 was tipped in right at the last minute. If you put an extra page 65 and you put an extra the last paragraph from page 67, the entire big book is based on an assets and liabilities checklist, especially the seven-step prayer. We're going to get to that. This is an assets and liabilities checklist. Again, there's references in the big book. There, actually, in the early days, there were four. The big book lists eight liabilities as part of the assets and liabilities checklist, right out of this book. Just put an extra 65 and try to wrap your brain around the fact that it was never used. This is what was used: resentment, fear, selfish, dishonesty, considerate, jealousy, suspicion, bitterness. In 1946, the beginners meetings, they used eight, slightly different. Part of it is because of number five. False pride was very, very big to Bill Wilson. It's not in the big book, but he talked about it again and again and again, and it had to do with prejudice. In the 1940s, this country was segregated, and Bill was vehemently opposed to segregation. Vehemently opposed. In fact, he said, "I will not speak at any white-only convention unless there's a black convention going on at the same time in the same area, and I will speak Friday night at one group and I'll speak Saturday night at the other group, and if I'm the only white person at the black meeting, shame on you."
He was adamant about it.
AA integrated long before this country integrated. We have Bill Wilson to thank for it. So that's where false pride came in. And then jealousy, envy, laziness. But in the 12 of 12, there's no reference whatsoever to page 65. Why? Because nobody was doing it. Nobody. What's in the 12 of 12? Seven deadly sins plus fear. Eight. Dr. Bob, in the story, he sold himself short. Eight liabilities. Slightly different than the other three, but the magic number was eight, so we're going to do eight. High Road to Happiness, the first big book study written in 1949 out of Iowa. It's in the Dr. Bob and Ismith archives. If you'd like a copy of it, just call me or email me and we'll send it out to you. I don't have one with me. They spent four pages on how to fill out an assets and liabilities checklist. 12 and 12, like I said, no reference whatsoever to anything except assets and liabilities and the seven deadly sins plus fear. This is what the fourth and fifth, well, four, five, six, and seven look at. We're going to actually turn the blocks from dotted lines to solid lines by finding out what is actually blocking us in step four, blocking us from other people, blocking us from the power, and then in step six and seven, we're going to ask the power to remove the blocks. So that's what it looks like. I want everybody to take their assets and liabilities checklist and fold it over so the assets are hidden from view. This is exactly how they did it in the 1940s and the 1950s. Oh, and we never found the 3, 4, or 5 column inventory in any archival collection. Like I said, I'm the only person that's ever had open access to every archive. We found thousands of these. Why? Because your name's not going to go on it, and nobody else's name's going to go on it. This is going to be strictly, totally anonymous. We only deal with the liability side of the sheet in step four. We'll give you that paragraph that tells us that. And we have the questions in the back. The young man that I'm working with, I will ask you the question. You don't have to fill it out unless you feel comfortable doing so, because this is all brand new to you. I will ask you the questions. I'll fill the sheet out for you. But if you'd like to jot a few things down, that'll help. Well, the reason we're going to ask you to jot things down, because your sponsor's in the room right now. I'm actually officially every one of your sponsors, because I'm going to ask the questions and you're going to fill out your sheets. Because I don't have time to go around and fill each one out individually. And it also turns the lunch hour into the fifth step rather than regrouping and doing 4 or 5. So if you feel comfortable, fill the sheet out. If you don't, then these are the questions for your sharing partner to ask, and then the sharing partner fill the sheet out. I love this. It is in the handout packet, I believe. Is the pipeline in the packet? Has anybody come across that yet? Oh, maybe it's not. Whoa. Well, I'll tell you, email me. We definitely want to get the pipeline out to you.
Yeah, I've never
seen it. It is in. No, it's not the crack pipe, it's the pipeline. No, it's not in there. Okay. I'll see if I've got one in my briefcase and we'll make copies. It's so important. This comes from Mexico. I'm in Hermosillo, Mexico, listening to people do back to basics in Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. There's a complete Spanish translation. There's also a German translation, a Polish translation, a Russian translation, two Chinese translations, a Japanese translation, which is actually being sold by the General Service Office in Tokyo. All done for free, And I'm in Mexico watching, listening to them do it in Spanish, and I got it when I even saw this. And the explanation comes from a guy named Jimmy G in Tucson, Arizona, about 24 years old. He was a Back to Basics meeting leader. Great guy, all tatted up, ringing his nose, ringing his ears, and Every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, he'd come with his little mohawk, and it was a different color. Every week, because it was a different color. Great guy, great presenter. He also did the pipeline. He did the example. So let me start with the pipeline. Now, if you take the recovery triangle, and you take that part of the triangle, which is between me and the power, and put it on the horizontal, you get a pipeline. Now, when we enter this physical plane, from wherever we came from, and from wherever we're going back to, or whether we come back as a garden of corn and sweet peas, or whatever we come back as, we're infinitely connected to the power. There's no blocks whatsoever. But this is the example from Jimmy. I'm 7 years old and Mom has just made cookies. And I want a cookie. I can see the cookies, I can smell the cookies, I can almost taste the cookies, and I want a cookie. Mom says I can't have a cookie. It's too close to dinner, or supper, depending on where you live. So what happens? First, I get angry, Mom. She won't give me a cookie. I don't want a cookie. I don't want that cookie now. That's a resentment. That's a block. So what do? I steal the cookie, which is dishonesty. I eat the cookie, which is selfishness. And then I become afraid I'm going to be punished, which is fear. So over one little cookie, I end up with four blocks. I'm still connected to the power, but I've got a little work to do here. So what do? I tell Mom what I did. I get sent to my room, and the blocks are removed. Simple, straightforward. But when you add something called addiction, yeah. I don't even speak Spanish and I got it. We have so many resentments and so much dishonesty and so much selfishness and so much fear that we do actually become blocked from the power. This is another visualization of step zero. This is a visualization of step zero. The blocked pipeline is a visualization of step zero. How many of these blocks do we need to remove to get reconnected to the power? How about one? Yeah. Two, maybe at the most. That's the first pass. That's the outer layer of the onion. Yes, we're going to go back and do another inventory next week and another inventory the week after that, and we're going to keep chipping away at this thing. I was doing a seminar 3 years ago at 24 years of sobriety. My sharing partner shared something that had never even come into my consciousness, let alone do inventory work on. God had protected me for 24 years. But when it was brought to my attention, I immediately took action. I was raised in the Boston area. I was actually doing a seminar at the Mass General Hospital about 3 months later. And I went back and I made restitution for what I had done at 17 years of age, which was totally blocked from my mind, even at 24 years of sobriety. Thank God for sharing partners, because it was brought out through a partner. It didn't come to me. And I've written a lot of inventories. But the key is that we're always going to have work to do. I've got work to do today. That's why this is so simple and so straightforward and why it works. The mantra from the pioneers, it's better to take one event all the way through step nine and remove it than to write about 150 things and never do anything about them, which is what is happening today. Right. Do nothing, relapse, suicide, death. Let's do it the way they did it back in the early days. Here we go, session two. Now that we've got the books straightened out. Okay. Welcome to the second session of Back to the Basics of Recovery. Together we're taking the 12 steps based on the directions found in the big book and the personal experiences of the 12-step pioneers. Our names are Wally and
Brad.
And we will be your guides for this meeting. Again, they never identified themselves as alcoholics, they never identified themselves as addicts, they never identified themselves as cross-addicted this or that. That all came in the 70s, that all came from the treatment center. That did not come from Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah. Amazing stuff. There's over 100 audio tapes of Bill Wilson. He never identified himself as an alcoholic. There's only three of Dr. Bob, and he died in 1950, but of the three, he never identified himself as an alcoholic. And the pioneers from the 40s and 50s didn't either. I think it's interesting that if they identified themselves as anything, they identified themselves as members of. I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm a member of Cocaine Anonymous. I'm a member of Sexaholics Anonymous. I'm a member of Gamblers Anonymous. Member of. And I found that interesting that they were identifying themselves with the solution rather than the problem. I'm Wally and I'm an alcoholic and I'm always being alcoholic. No, that's the problem. Okay, let me tell you about my problem in this meeting. Oh, it's not about problems, it's about solution. And they had it right from the beginning. My name's Wally and I'm a member of this outfit. Okay, let's do it. Our names are, we already did that. We will use a simple assets and liabilities checklist to identify the personal traits that have kept us shut off from the sunlight of the spirit. I don't know if this slides up again, I've already seen it once. When Back to Basics first came out, it made a lot of newspaper headlines all over the country. And this was actually in Tucson, Arizona. It was a two-page spread on page one and two of the B section. They called GSO. GSO contributed to it. They called people that were against Back to Basics. They called people who were for Back to Basics. And it was a balanced report. I never met the man who did this illustration. I don't even know if it was a man. I can't read that scribble in the lower right. Never met the person. But whoever it was, nailed it. In the 1940s, they used to call it kitchen table recovery. You would sit around the kitchen table and take the steps. Kitchen table recovery. Now here we have, and it's a kitchen. You can see the stove, and you can see the sink, and maybe it's a refrigerator. There's only two books in the room, and that's one more than typical. So you have a person probably doing the color commentary at the upper middle. You got a lady here, she's following along. She's maybe doing the big book passages, just like we're doing here. And then there's a man taking notes in the lower left. You got the Doubting Thomas on the right, arms folded. I'm not buying into any of this. I don't know what any of this is. In the upper left, you've got a woman who looks like she's being very, very attentive and maybe in meditative state. And the guy on the left is asleep. That is a typical beginner's meeting. I don't know how this person nailed it, but they did. That's a perfect meeting. Wow. Okay, step four reads.
Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves.
In the fourth paragraph on page 63, the Big Book authors tell us what we need to do now that we've made our decision to proceed.
Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house clean, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our self-destructive behavior was but a symptom. So we had to get down to causes and conditions.
Very, very, very important paragraph. It doesn't say next week, it doesn't say next month, it doesn't say next year. Immediately after the third step prayer, we take steps 4 through 9, as written in our book, and as practiced by our pioneers. We did the third step prayer 35 minutes ago. That's about as far as I want to push next, okay? So we're going to get right after it right now. First step of which is a personality. What is Bill talking about? This isn't the first step. This is step four. It's the first step of sharing, because the whole book is laid out based upon the four spiritual activities. So this is the first step of sharing. Unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of things which have been blocking us. That's what they call the liabilities, blocks. Those are the blocks that are in the pipeline. Those are the blocks that are the dotted lines, or even now that we're going to identify them and remove them, but we have to turn them from dotted to solid, and then we're going to get rid of them. Our self-destructive behavior was but a symptom. So we're going to get down to causes and conditions. What are the causes and conditions? The liability side of an assets and liabilities checklist. Right out of our big book, right from our pioneers. So the next paragraph after that starts with, therefore.
Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This was step four. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and fact-facing process. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock in trade. One object is to disclose damaged or unsaleable goods to rid of them promptly and without regret.
Okay, commercial inventory, we've already said it, it's right in our book. Assets and liabilities, not 3, 4, 5 columns. That was tipped in at the end, and nobody knew how to do it, and it never even was mentioned in the 12 of 12 written in 1952, and this is 1939. So what we do is we take our inventory, and that's the commercial inventory, assets and liabilities. Then in the second paragraph on page 64, the authors clearly explain what we need to do in order to conduct this commercial inventory.
We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup which caused our failure, being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us. We considered its common manifestations.
And the common manifestations are the liability side of the sheet. It says, first we searched out the flaws. So first, we're only going to use the liability side of the sheet in step four. It tells us to fold the sheet over so the assets are hidden from view. Right out of the book, what do we inventory? Well, first of all, there's no right or wrong way to do a commercial inventory. As we showed you, there were four different inventories, actually a lot more than four. There was one out of a little red book, which was again was slightly different, but they also used 8 liabilities. 8 was the magic number. Again, this inventory precedes the inventory on page 65, so they're asking us to do this one first before we ever attempt the much more difficult one on page 65. Again, Joe and Charlie, do this one first, then come see us. And then, Dr. Bob, this is all he used to take people through the steps. This is the way it was written in the 1946 AA Grapevine. And all we've done is remove the vertical lines. This is a 1945 version of the assets and liabilities checklist without the vertical lines. The vertical lines were 46. It just seems to make it so much easier not to get caught up in doing a grid. What do we inventory? You've got the definitions of all the liabilities. I'm just going to hit them real fast. Resentment is being angry for more than an hour. The normal person can deal with anger in one or two ways. Either they forgive the person, or they talk to the person and work it out. Forgive the person, move on. No, we hold on for weeks and months and years. Oh, we got this resentment down cold. No. Normal people resolve it within an hour. Fear, again, being afraid of losing something we have and not getting something we want. Here's where the phobias, the panic attacks, all of that is part of fear. Selfishness, it's all about me, 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 me. Dishonesty, theft or deception. Taking things that don't belong to us, cheating people out of what's rightfully theirs, and lying to withholding the truth from others. False pride, thank you, Bill. Let me get down to that one. It's feeling better than or less than someone else. It's tilting that triangle so it's not horizontal at the base. Feeling better than. Feelings of superiority, including prejudice about race, education, or religious beliefs, and sarcasm. Putting someone else down to make us feel better about ourselves. Feelings of inferiority include self-pity, which is excessive concern about our own troubles, and low self-esteem, the lack of self-worth and self-respect. That's all having to do with false pride. The reason that these are added in the way they are, jealousy has to do with people. That's right out of the big book. But they put in envy because that has to do with things to make it clearly 8 distinct items that we're going to inventory. Jealousy has to do with people. Envy has to do with things. I am jealous of the relationship that my father had with my brother. I am envious of the car that my brother drives. Clear distinctions. And laziness, lacking the will and desire to work. Procrastination, which I'm as guilty of as anybody, is also part of the laziness liability. Now let's look at what we put on paper. From pages 64 to 71, the author is presented with a list of liabilities we need to eliminate and assets we need to accentuate. We're going to speed the process up a little bit because it's getting close to lunchtime. But page 64, paragraph 3, makes it really clear that, oh, no, I do have to go back. I'm going to read this one. We went back through our lives, nothing kind of a thermos and honesty when we were finished, we considered carefully. This is at the bottom of page 65, and that was highlighted. Why? Because it's the beginning of a longer paragraph, but if you look in terms of English grammar, Bill could have done, we went back through our lives, nothing kind of a thoroughness and honesty, new paragraph, when we were finished. Oh, this is going to take some time. No! Right into it. When we are finished, we consider it carefully. They are telling us that we're going to do this inventory in one sitting. And that's how it was done in the early days. Based on these first three sentences, one sitting, and you sit down together and do the work. Right out of the big book. Not what we may conceive today, but this is the way it went down. We have until 1:45, save all the time to finish it. But at 1:45, we're going to reconvene and do the rest of the steps. So take as much time as you like until 1:45. Well, I know I'm not going to get through all of it, but we're going to get through some of it. What do we put on paper? Resentment, number one offender.
Oh, resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more of us than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry.
Okay, and again it says we do this. Remember in step 2 it said you, you, you. Now they're saying we. The sponsor and sponsee sit down together and do this. Right out of the big book. Then go from the you to we. Okay, and then the second paragraph on page 67, the authors instruct us to look for our own mistakes to see if we need to make amends.
Referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other person's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight.
Okay, I mean, Ladies and gentlemen, this is as written in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It doesn't say we look at our part, because if we look at our part, then they have a part. No, we don't look at our part. We resolutely look for our own mistakes, as written, black part of the page. I'm as guilty of this as anybody. I got challenged on this starting about 12, 14 years ago. Wally, stop saying that we look at our part because it's not in the book. And they were right. It's not in the book. But what is in the book is where were we to blame. Also, we have the first reference to the opposites of the four spiritual, the four-way test that came to us from the Oxford group. They called it the four standards or the four absolutes. Bill reversed them in steps 4, 10, and 11. And how we reversed them in step 4 is we look where we've been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. Substitute resentful for self-seeking, and you've got the first four liabilities on the assets and liabilities checklist. Bill did like to mix it up a little bit in steps. And you do have to hand out for step 10 and 11 as part of the packet. So it's in the Big Book 3 times. So it must be pretty important. I'm going to skip through the assets. There are two paragraphs that have to do with the asset, which is hidden from view, and that is the forgiveness. There's two forgiveness paragraphs in the Big Book. There's also a fear paragraph in the Big Book. It's all right in the book. Assets, liabilities. Assets, liabilities. So we're going to zip through that. Which is page 66, paragraph 3, and page 67, starting at the top. This is the forgiveness paragraphs. And we're going to get started on our four-step inventory. Who or what are you angry at right now? Give me one or two. Whoops. And I don't have a pen. Anybody else have an extra
here.
Pen? Oh, one's coming.
Got it.
Who or what are you angry at right now? If you've been here for a while, you may not have a resentment in the world. Don't fake it. Leave it blank. Guess what? We got seven more to go. We'll get you somewhere. We're going to get you somewhere. You may not have a resentment in the world, and that's okay. And only want to hear about one, maybe two, three at the absolute most, because we're going to come back and do another one next week, and the week after, and the week after, and the week after. This is an actual inventory that I did in the mid-1990s with a young man, and it's before I realized that I was complicating this whole thing way too much. We did write down four. First of all, your name does not go on it, and neither does anybody else's name. Coded, X, myself, court, God. That falls on the ground. It does has no meaning to anybody else, and that's the key. While you're working on the resentment part, I've seen long, laborious written inventories submitted to military tribunals, and people have been given dishonorable discharges from the military for what they put on a four-step inventory. I know these are not supposed to fall in enemy hands, but guess what? Life happens. Life happens. Personal experience. I know these people. I've seen long, laborious written inventories submitted to employers, and people have been fired on the spot for what they put on a four-step inventory. That's why the pioneers knew how to do this. Your name's not on it, and neither is anybody else's. And there's certainly no explanation as to what's going on, because that's between you and your sponsor, orally, in private. It's a verbal process. The more you write, the more potential trouble you can get in if something like this happens. I've seen long, laborious written inventories submitted to judges, and people have gone to prison for what they put on inventories. I've seen people lose their children for what they put on inventories. I've seen people lose visitation rights for their children for what they put on inventory. I'm just going to do one. I had a good friend in Scottsdale, Arizona, tried to get him back into the roots because he said he would never go back. And right now, he still is of that opinion 5 years later. He will never walk into another meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's a major resentment. But he had a sponsor, and the sponsor says, you're going to write down every dastardly deed, and because you're a musician, because you're a rock star, I want you to put it in your guitar case, because that's locked. Well, his wife happened to see this very bizarre behavior, that he would leave the guitar case in the garage, and he would always lock it when he came home. She popped the lock one afternoon when he wasn't there. His four-step was used in court. He did end up with a divorce. He did end up not even being able to see his children ever again until they were 18 years old. He's so angry that now he's actually in prison. He just can't get through the anger of what we did to him. We're not supposed to be doing this stuff. We really aren't. We're not supposed to hurt people. We're supposed to save their lives. We're supposed to help them. Brian, I don't even know I know what prison he's in. It's somewhere in the state of Arizona because he violated parole. And he was already out on parole when he did that four step, so there's no telling. I have no idea what was on it, but it did get submitted to the judge, and not only did he get the divorce, but he never is able to see his children again until they're 18 years of age. Whew, that hurts. Resentments, who or what are we angry at? In code. Okay, we're going to finish at 12:15. How about the fear inventory, page 68, paragraph 1?
We reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. We asked ourselves why we had them. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us, once we had great confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other.
Okay, the next paragraph is the faith paragraph. We're not going to read that. We're going to get right into the inventory. We overcome fear with faith, according to the people who wrote the big book. First, any fear that has no resentment in connection with them, and then go back over the resentment list and see if both resentment and fear apply. In this case, there was both fear and resentment toward the court, fear of relapse and fear of his physical health. So we now have a resentment inventory and a fear inventory. I see people doing it. I encourage everyone sometime during the course of the next hour and a half to just walk and see what you see and feel what you feel in terms of two here and two there and two outside and maybe three around the table, maybe three, four over here in the corner of this auditorium. My heart sings every time we watch people do this work. Then on page 69, we have the remaining six liabilities. Page 69, paragraph 1.
We reviewed our conduct over the years past. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Where were we at fault? What should we have done instead? We got this all down on paper and looked at it.
We got this all down on paper and looked at it. So there's the additional six. Some people consider this to be the sex inventory. The old timers said they didn't like to make that distinction because sometimes resentment and fear also play into the sexual inventory. So the sexual inventory can be all eight. As written, it's 3 through 8, but now let's look at the rest of the liabilities. We do have a way of overcoming the liabilities 3 through 8, and that is 69, paragraph 3.
We must be willing to make amends where we have done harm, provided that we do not bring about still more harm in doing so.
And that is the key. This is where sponsor and sponsee work together, and this is the first time. It doesn't say we make amends directly for resentment or fear, but it does say that we need to really seriously look at selfishness through laziness. And now let's fill out the rest of the sheet and see if anything applies to us in terms of selfishness, dishonesty, false pride, jealousy, envy, laziness, and there's also a blank at the bottom in case something else applies. In this case, it was shame having to do with friend number two. Friend number two was shame and dishonesty. In terms of the ex, she made the list 4 times. So there really isn't that many names. It's just that the ex made the list 4 times. Resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, and laziness. The employer made the list 4 times, so again, not that many different things to inventory, but we doubled up on a lot of them. Selfishness with the employer, dishonesty with the employer, false pride with the employer, and laziness with the employer. Myself ended up on there 3 times. So actually, it really isn't that many different things. It just looks like it's a long one, but it really wasn't. Myself in terms of resentment, dishonesty, and laziness. Let's do the rest of the inventory. Like I said, we're going to get you somewhere. I'm going to take us a little bit further than we would normally go with a workshop, but let's just see if anybody wants to actually see how this whole thing goes down. After this, we've got hidden from view the assets, what the assets are, forgiveness, faith, and forgiveness paragraphs we talked about, the faith paragraph we talked about. 3 through 8 are just the opposites of the liabilities. And some of them are alluded to later on in the big book, but we don't want to belabor the fact that assets and liabilities are both in the big book. And when the two of you are talking, the thing to concentrate on is where do you need to make amends? If the two of you agree that amends needs to be made, then all you do is circle the liability. In this case, we role-played it, and the man was willing to make an amends for his dishonesty and his laziness with the ex. He was willing to make an amends for his jealousy with a family member. He also asked him if he would be willing to forgive himself because for his laziness. And we did have friend number one and friend number two on there, and employer, but that was the entire 8-step amends list. We role-played. We're going to get into the role-plays this afternoon and how to actually make these amends. So that you know what's coming up, there's 4 type of amends. And they're in the big room. All 4 are listed. direct amends, eyeball to eyeball. That's only one out of four. Living amends, live like a sober member of the 12-step community. For people who are new, it's the best amends you can make to family and best amends you can make to friends. You don't have to go to anybody and talk to them directly. Just start living on the asset side of the sheet instead of the liability side of the sheet. Amends in kind, do something instead of. If going to the ex is gonna just, you know, stir up a hornet's nest, then we don't go to the ex. We do something instead of. We go down to a homeless shelter and volunteer, we work in a soup kitchen. We take a commitment for a 12-step group. Do something instead of. Amends in kind is what it was called. And amends to those who cannot be seen. These are the letters. The letters that are never received. The big book says we send them an honest letter. It never says they received the honest letters. Their letters were never received. Wow, that's between you and your sponsor. That's not directed towards the person. They could, again, stir up a total hornet's nest, make things worse rather than better. There's a takeoff on the letters. We'll get into this afternoon, but there's a takeoff on the letters. Today I see a lot of people burning them. It's exactly the same as written in the big book. The letter goes to where it needs to go in order for us to heal. It's not about receiving the letters. It's either sending them to the dead letter office or sending them up into the atmosphere. Right out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and a modern interpretation of the amends to those who cannot be seen. If you really are on top of this, a lot of people have been doing this for a while. This space, yeah, just leave space to write down what type of amends. Here's your 8-step amends list, and now you've got your list of 9-step amends. The man was coming, well, the two of us actually went to his ex. No, we never went to his ex. Wrong. That was only going to make more trouble. A living amends to the ex, treat his current girlfriend differently, and amends in kind was to do something to help people at a shelter. The letter to the family member was never received. A direct amends to friend number one, actually a direct amends to friend number two. Both of those had to do with financial situations. Make the best deal we can and make a living amends to yourself. Live like a person on the asset side of the sheet rather than the liability side of the sheet. We're gonna close in 4 minutes, but before we do, we have to just talk about step five for just a short period of time. And step five, which is on page 17, reads.
Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs.
Okay, page 72, starting the ninth line, they tell us why we need to admit our faults to another person, but I'm going to skip that one and move on to what is critically important to this workshop today, which is on page 73, paragraph 4. We must be entirely honest with somebody.
We must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live long or happily in this world. Rightly and naturally, we think well before we choose the person or persons with whom to take this intimate and confidential step. Though we have no religious connection, we may still do well to talk with someone ordained by an established religion. If we cannot or would rather not do this, we search our acquaintance for a close-mouthed, understanding friend. Perhaps our doctor or psychologist will be the person.
What Bill and the pioneers are laying out are people who are legally bound to keep a secret. We do not have that privilege. We are amateurs. We are not professionals. Oh, I want you to tell me every dastardly deed you've ever done. And when you get subpoenaed, you go to court and you have to testify against this person or you get sent to jail. That is not what this is about. People are sworn to keep a secret. Some of those who are sworn to keep a secret, they're called privileged. clergy parishioner privilege. Priests, ministers, rabbis, Sufis, anybody who does have credentials as a person of the religious community. Attorney-client. Attorneys are bound, are sworn to keep a secret. Money has to change hands, like a dollar. And then that kicks in, but they are sworn to keep a secret. Doctor-patient. Doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists, medical doctors, even CACs are sworn to keep a secret. But something has happened in the last 20 years, I'm gonna leave it right there, called mandatory reporting. There's not a federal law, but there are state laws, and each state is a little different. You've gotta be very careful, even with these people, talking about child abuse or abuse of the elderly. Because some of these people are legally bound by the state to report you if it has to do with these areas. So be very, very careful in terms of who you share with. I'm just gonna give you the Wally P take on it. There's my sharing partner up there. Everything that you say will be held in the strictest of confidence. Nothing that you share with me will pass my lips to a third party, and that's my solemn oath to you. But if there's anything that you need to talk to me about that is a pending criminal or recently passed criminal behavior, please do not share it with me. We'll set up with you going to there's actually ministers in this very building. We can actually do some of this in confidence. Yeah, right behind you. Start spilling your guts. No, we'll talk first. But there are people sworn to keep a confidence right here in this room. But that's the key, is be very careful in what you share, especially if it has to do with criminal activity. We do need to close by, but one more thing. If you feel uncomfortable talking about some parts of your checklist with your partner because you just met your partner an hour or two ago, all we ask is that you make a commitment to this person as to when, where, and with whom you will share those portions of your inventory, especially if it does have to do with criminal activity. If you're willing to make this commitment, you can take the rest of the steps with us today, and it's explained in the big book that you can do this. In the second paragraph on page 74, the big book author has explained the circumstances under which this step may be temporarily postponed. Page 74, paragraph 2.
Notwithstanding the great necessity for discussing ourselves with someone, it may be one is so situated that there is no suitable person available. If that is so, this step may be postponed. Only, however, if we hold ourselves in complete readiness to go through it with it at the first opportunity.
And that first opportunity may be 5 minutes after you leave this workshop. But hold on to it if there's no suitable person available right now. Right out of the big room. But if we're willing to do this, then we get to witness miracles. We get to witness what some people call the fifth step promises, and we want to close with the fifth step promises.
Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feel that our problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe.
What a set of promises that are going to come true between now 12:18 and 1:45 when we reconvene to take steps 6 through 12. So this is lunchtime, it's breakout time. Find a place for you and your sponsee, you and your sharing partner to get together, and let's talk, and we'll reconvene at 1:45. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yay! Yes.